It is 25 minutes in front of the hour of 1 o'clock. And again, our Meet the Candidates forum continuing here on AM 1480 KAUS as our candidate forum, again, with Austin City Council on this first day of our forums. And again, coming up in just a short while, we'll be speaking with Jason Baskin and also Watsana Theravong from the second ward, Mr. Baskin, the incumbent there, and then later Joyce Bashusta and Ronald A. Kelly from the third ward. But with us here right now, here for the race in the first ward for the Austin City Council, we have in studio with us here Laura Helly and also incumbent Rebecca Waller via with us the telephone. Rebecca, are you with us this afternoon?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yep, I can hear you just fine. And good afternoon to you. Good afternoon, Laura.
Hi.
Thank you both for being with us here today. And first off, we'll start with some opening statements. And Rebecca, the incumbent, you can go first here this afternoon.
Okay. I just want to say that I'm Rebecca Waller, and I have lived in Austin for the past 15 years. Not originally from Austin, but Rochester, and I immediately fell in love with the city of Austin when I moved here. Great people, great facilities, great park system, just an amazing small town feel, but lots of opportunities for everyone in this area. So for me, I really enjoyed being part of this community. Everyone's very welcoming. I've made lots of friends, and I've worked here for the past 15 years with Citrix. And I've raised my two daughters, who are currently 13 and 10, and they're thriving in this wonderful city that I live in. So just glad to be here and glad to be on the city council for the past 4 years and hoping to get reelected to continue the work that we've already started.
All right. And Laura, your opening statement, please, this afternoon.
Sure. My name is Laura Helly. I use she, her pronouns. You might know me from my day job working at Austin Area Arts. You might also know me as the mom of Josie, who's 5 at Woodson, or Danica, who's 13 at Ellis. I am definitely a working mom, and have also been a leader in Austin for the last 20 years or so. I previously served on the Austin City Council, and I'm ready to come back and serve again. I'd really like to see us focus on housing issues. I hear a lot of talking about housing, but I don't see the dollars and the programs matching up with the need of the housing crisis. So that's my main focus. I'd like to see Austin safe, sustainable, and growing.
Okay. All right. Thank you both for that. And Laura, we'll stay with you here for our first question for yourself and Rebecca Waller here. This afternoon, it concerns the wastewater treatment plant here in Austin. And 2 months ago, the council unanimously approved a construction bid of $105 million to repair and improve the city's wastewater treatment plant. This funding will be accomplished through an increase of sewer fees through 2026. And the city estimates the fees will have nearly doubled by the time all the increases are in place to about $65 per month per user. In your opinion, was this project funded properly? And going forward, what adjustments should the city make to this project, if any?
Thank you. I love talking about wastewater treatment plant. and I'll tell you why, because there's not much more of a core function for your city than having the toilet flush. Your wastewater treatment plant is not working, your community in general is not working. So it's definitely a priority. I think we got our value out of the previous wastewater treatment plant, parts of which were built, I believe, in the 30s. Mm-hmm. It is a huge price tag, and I applaud the city council for approving the funding that they did. I'm sure most people know that we've tried for many years and several approaches to get state bonding dollars for it. I think a $105 million project in a city where our annual budget is $14 million shows you that the state really needs to get involved, particularly when state regulations on pollution are driving a lot of the costs. And so our legislature really failed to do their job at the state level this year and for several years. So we have our hopes in our local elected officials up at the Capitol to get a bonding bill to go forward and have some funding and take some of that burden off of the city of Austin. But if they don't, we're going to pony up and pay the price. And I think that was a good decision.
Okay. And Rebecca, same question to you here this afternoon. Again, 2 months ago, the city council, again, unanimously approving that construction bid of $105 million to repair and improve the city's wastewater treatment plant. Again, this funding will be accomplished through an increase of sewer fees through 2026. And the city estimates that those fees will have nearly doubled by the time all the increases are in place to about $65 per month per user. And in your opinion, was this project funded properly? And going forward, what adjustments should the city make to this project, if any, in your view?
Yeah, so I was part of the council and part of the council that made that decision. And we made that decision because when the bonding fell through with the cost of inflation and everything kind of going up in construction costs, we had to kind of, in a sense, pull the trigger and get moving on the wastewater treatment plant. Laura's right. I mean, if you don't have a functioning toilet, you don't have a functioning city, and that really is something that, as a council person, this has been a big job for us to get done. I'm glad that we were funding it. We still have hopes that maybe our legislators will come through for us in the future. Maybe it's not dead in the water yet with funding, that somehow we can get a little bit of the pressure off of the city of Austin, but for right now, we're doing what we need to do to continue moving forward as a city. We need to have a functioning wastewater treatment plant. I stand behind everything that we've done up to this point. We're just doing everything to the city for our best possible way of getting this done at a reasonable price. If we wait another year or two, I don't know what the cost of inflation, what it would have been. Would that price tag be $120 million? Our citizens don't need to pay any more than we're already paying, but we do need to have a functioning wastewater treatment plant.
Yeah, very much so. Through just doing what I do past these kinds of projects are they're badly needed, they're horribly expensive. But moving on from wastewater treatment to housing, and Rebecca, we'll stay with you. It's kind of a longer question. In April of this year, a consulting company presented the city findings concerning the improvement and expansion of Austin's housing supply, and those findings indicated that the city had made progress increasing housing options overall in recent years, adding about 80 to 90 units per year, but also concluded that there has been relatively little single-family new home construction for several decades in Austin, and that many of the current older single-family homes in Austin are in need of major replacements or repairs, as this type of housing represents over 70% of all available housing in Austin. Is there anything the city should be doing to address any housing issues in the next few years? And if so, what should those changes be?
I mean, we know that housing is one of our biggest issues in the city of Austin. We need market rate and affordable housing across the board, and single family homes are no different. We need to find a way to get a relationship with some builders and get some spec homes out there and get more building going. We've already got some programs in place with the abatement program, and that's helped, but it's not helped enough. So as a city, we've got to get more involved in getting our builders to come to Austin to build for us. I mean, we need single family, but we need everything. We need market rate. We need affordable housing. And for the city of Austin, it's something that we just have to continue working on. We do have some dollars sitting aside. We've got to start using those dollars and work towards it. Now that kind of we're coming out of COVID, we need to start looking at the housing again and getting back on track with making sure that we have single family homes. And then we take care of the home base that we do have. We do have a lot of aging homes. Is there grants or programs that we can create to help people with keeping up with their housing, with their houses, keeping them part of our inventory? We don't want to lose housing because we're not able to maintain our house. So for us, we've got work to do, but I think as a city council and as a city, we can keep working towards that direction. We just got to keep finding ways in partnerships to help with the housing problem we have.
Okay. And Laura, same question to you. Again, in April this year, a consulting company presenting the city with its findings concerning improvement and expansion of Austin's housing supply, and those findings indicated the city had made some progress increasing housing options overall in recent years, adding about 80 to 90 units a year, but also came to the conclusion that there's been relatively little single-family new home construction for several decades in Austin, and that many of these current older single-family homes in Austin are in need of major replacements and or repairs, as this type of housing represents over 70% of all available housing in Austin. Is there anything the city should be doing to address any housing issues in the next few years? And if so, what do you think those changes should be if you're elected?
Absolutely. I think housing is the number one issue for the city of Austin. I think our housing growth has been non-existent or slow over the last decades, and I think it's actually choking back the growth of the city. I think there are people who want to move here, can't find appropriate housing, and so end up in other communities or end up taking housing that's sort of less than what they can afford, which then displaces the next person down on the economic rung into substandard housing. I have read the report that you're referring to, and it had a lot of concrete ideas. I've been a little surprised to see that the concrete ideas in the report have not been implemented by the city council. One of them was to help preserve some of the existing single family homes by having more enforcement on the city level. That was voted down by the city council recently. I also will say, in my history, I worked on Vision 2020. In that project, Vision 2020 created CHIP, Community Housing Improvement Program. We found some funding. We partnered with the HRA. We had volunteer labor and HRA funding, and we're able to do some of these exact things to help preserve our existing housing stock. So I don't think we need to find programs or invent them. I think we already know what works, and we need to fund it and actually start doing it.
Okay. And Laura, staying with you for our next question, you kind of touched on this. We did receive a few listener questions about what the city is able to do, if anything, about rundown and derelict properties in different parts of the city of Austin. What role do you see the city council playing in improving the existing private housing in Austin if you're elected?
Sure. Thank you for that question. I think this is the one of the number one things that I hear from people when I'm out canvassing. There's every neighborhood has that property that people are concerned about. They see it's not being taken care of. They know it's hurting their own property values. And currently, the mechanism in the city is that we're depending on residents to report on their neighbors to the city, and then we respond to reports. One of the things proposed in the housing report was that we hire additional city staff whose job it is to go out and look for those violators and start the process, not fully 100% depending on neighbors reporting on neighbors, but instead being more proactive and looking for the worst offenders. The process to address a derelict property like that takes a very long time. We're talking months to years. It's not going to happen overnight. And we need to get to work on that process, and we need to stop saying, we'll just respond to the ones you tell us about. We can be much more proactive and get out there and preserve. As you said, it's 70% of our housing stock are these single family homes that have been built decades ago. And for some people, they know what they need to do. They don't have the money to do it. We can help them. For some people, they're in the wrong housing option and they need some intervention to move to assisted living or something different. I think that's a very small group of people who know what they need to do, have the money, and just don't want to do it. But for those, we absolutely have to enforce. So I think there's things that we can do. I'd like to see the city become more proactive in addressing those derelict properties.
Okay. Thank you for that answer, Laura. And Councilwoman Waller, same question to you. Again, we did receive some listener questions about what the city is able to do, if anything, about rundown and derelict properties in different parts of town, and what role do you see the city council playing in improving the existing private housing in the city of Austin?
Yeah, so we did have an opportunity to maybe add some city staff this year, but we chose not to in order to try to keep our taxes down, our increase in taxes down to a 4%. And so one of the things that we are doing is, yes, we rely on our neighbors to kind of report things. And we do have city staff that goes out there. And these properties are very time consuming. They do take a lot of time. But right now, we just don't have the manpower in the city to go ahead and designate one person to just drive around and say, okay, your house needs this, this, and that. We do need our residents to help us out a little bit. We also need the residents that are in these homes to reach out if they need help, find ways to get these properties back up to, you know, a manageable level that they can handle. The funding out there, we need to create something to help these people out, to make these properties, maintain these properties and keep them within our inventory for housing. As a city council member, you know, I always support adding new city staff when it's appropriate. So at this time, it's just not appropriate to add that inspector. Maybe down the road it is going to be appropriate to add that inspector that was wanted by the mayor. But right now, I just can't stand behind that because it causes the taxes to go up by quite a bit to add one new city staff member when there's other departments that are lacking for members in their department, too, that are important as well.
All right. Councilwoman Waller will stay with you. And next topic here, Internet access for the city of Austin as the latest. As of the latest U.S. Census in 2020, 80% of Austin residents reported having access to the Internet in their homes. This was just below the national average of 85% at that time. What role should the city play in increasing household access to the Internet, if any?
Internet access is key for families and for everyone in the city of Austin. I know right now we have the hotspot program through the library, which is an amazing program where people who don't have Internet can go get a hotspot and use Internet in their homes. You know, as a city, we're trying our best to keep that hotspot program going. It's a time-consuming program. It's costly, and it takes a lot of man hours. So I stand behind the hotspot program. I don't know if having citywide Internet is necessarily the answer. That sometimes is hard to regulate, and it's hard to maintain. But if there's a way for us to get affordable Internet to people, that's what we need to do. But Internet is absolutely key. It's for the growth of our children. It's used in our daily lives. We all need to use it. It's how everyone kind of gets their news nowadays is through the Internet. But I'm glad that we have the opportunity in this town to have hotspots, and we're getting more hotspots, and we're adding to the library's staffing so that we can maintain these hotspots and continue to grow that program. So we do have options for people who don't have the means to have Internet in their home. At least they have options of going through the library and the hotspot program that currently is out there.
All right. Thank you for that. And Ms. Ellie, same question to you. As of the latest U.S. Census in 2020, 80% of Austin residents reported having access to Internet in their homes, just below the national average of 85% at that time. And what role do you see the city playing in increasing household access to the Internet, if any, if you're elected?
So it's interesting, the statistic that you're citing, 80% have Internet access. Mm-hmm. If you have dial-up, that's considered Internet access. Mm-hmm. And in today's world, dial-up is not going to cut it. Mm-hmm. We're very lucky in Austin that we have a school district with partnerships and resources through the Hormel Foundation that most students have a school-issued device. They have a laptop or an iPad that they can take home. But if they take it home to dial-up, it's a doorstop. They can't They can't do their homework. Mm-hmm. I am concerned about what's happening right now, which is that there's a private company building broadband. And so if you live in a neighborhood with higher incomes, they're probably coming down your street. You probably have an option to sign up for that broadband connection mm-hmm. and pay for it. But for those neighborhoods that are lower income, they're not coming, and I don't know when they're coming. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think that the broadband level, the high-speed internet access is a utility. It's like clean water. We can't be competitive as a city if we don't have that at every single residence, and that's another thing that I think is holding back our growth. I would love to see Austin Utilities take on broadband, run it to every single house, just like they do water and electricity. Mm-hmm. I think the decision was made a while back not to do that. I wish they would revisit it. I do think it's a community issue. I'm not sure it falls exactly under the city council. Like I said, I think it fits better with Austin Utilities, but it's of concern, and it is one thing that's holding back our growth.
Okay. And Laura, staying with you here for our next question, as we're running down toward the end of our time here, business development. The city of Austin currently offers a number of incentives to bring new businesses to the city. Among those, tax adjustments, tax abatement program was just reapproved, a potential reduction of the cost of land as well as bonds and loans. Are these current measures enough to keep Austin competitive to new businesses? And if not, what more can the city do?
I think what's in place is good. I think we do need to do better to keep attracting and even better to grow local. I think in economic development, you get better bang for your buck by developing and growing your local businesses than you do attracting those from another community to come into you, because that becomes a fishing game where you have to have a bigger and better lure, and it's a vicious circle. So I think the number one thing the city can do to attract and support businesses is solve the housing crisis. I think that should be a priority, and it should actually have resources going toward it. I think broadband access is another way that we can stand out as a community and be attractive to residents, but also be attractive to businesses. And then finally, I'd like to see the city put some funding toward entrepreneurship, especially for immigrant and refugee communities. We have a lot of immigrant and refugee populations. I think that the city could partner with some of the existing nonprofits like the DCA or the Welcome Center and create programs specifically to encourage those immigrants and refugees to really live out their American dream and start a new business.
Okay. And thank you for that. And Ms. Waller, same question to you. The city of Austin currently offers a number of incentives to bring new businesses to the city. Among those, tax adjustments and tax abatements, potential reduction of the cost of land, as well as bonds and loans. Do you think these current measures are enough to keep Austin competitive for new businesses? And if not, what more could the city do?
Yeah, I mean, bringing new development to Austin has always been one of the issues I feel that we need to get better at. We need to keep growing. But part of the problem is Laura's right with the housing. If you don't have houses and you try to bring in new businesses too often, where are these people going to live? A lot of these people that are coming in, if one's coming in for a job, his spouse also needs to have a job. So we need to keep growing our housing supply. We need to make sure that we have single family and also multi-family units available for our residents. Part of, you know, the abatements that we have going on and reduced land costs, I think that's all competitive. I think we just have to stick with it. When someone comes to us with interest, we need to make sure that we keep them interested. Don't drag it out. Make sure that we stay on top of these businesses getting here and seeing what we can do to help grow our city. We have great people in the city, and we do not want to travel to outlying communities to go shopping. We would love to have everything here. We have great business people that are already here that are working businesses, that have multiple businesses. Reach out to them. Make sure that they, if they have another idea or if they can, you know, grow their business, let's grow them in our town. Let's not scare people away. So, I mean, I think we have great programs. We just got to keep building on it. And part of that is solving the housing crisis. Is it going to happen overnight? Absolutely not. But we got to keep working towards the end goal of bringing in more housing to help grow our town.
Okay. And we've reached the point of closing statements here in this forum. And Ms. Waller, your closing statement first, please, here this afternoon.
Okay. I just want to let the people of Austin know that I've really enjoyed my last 4 years on council. I've learned a lot. I'm still learning a lot. It's not something that you just get into and you know everything that's going on. There's always lots of things to learn, always research to do. But I'm not here just for the city council. I'm here for the people of Austin. I am here because I love my community. I want to keep growing. I want to keep making this community the best that it can be. I'm proud of our community. We have the best city employees out there who work hard each and every day, and a lot of them are working short staff because we just don't have enough money to give them everything that they need within the city. So, you know, I'm here for the people. I love our parks and our recreation. We have so much to offer all of our citizens. And people come here, they realize how much of a town, how beautiful of a town this is. what we have to offer. So I'm really just proud to be here. And if they reelect me, I'm just going to continue to work on growing our city with businesses, keeping the housing crisis, you know, down, trying to find ways and solutions to do that, and then continue to grow our recreation so that people have activities to do. And I just appreciate everything that our community does for each other. Everyone is very welcoming in this town.
All right. Thank you for that. Rebecca and Laura, your closing statement for us this afternoon, please.
Sure. So my vision for Austin is that it's safe, sustainable, and growing. We talked about growth through housing and really putting resources toward housing. That also means nurturing and expanding local businesses, entrepreneurs, new business starts. I'd like to see Austin sustainable. I think that means leveraging the assets that we do have and also being a good steward of both the dollars and the human resources at the city. City's one of the biggest employers in the community, and so I think we need to make sure that we are paying all of our city employees adequately for the work that they do and also giving them a workplace that they want to stay, stay at. And then finally, safe. I think we all want to feel safe in our communities, and that includes people who are might have some differences, people who are immigrants, refugees, racial minorities, people from the LGBTQ community. So I think it's important that safety is for everyone in Austin and not just a few. So I'd love to see us work a little bit more on maybe neighborhood programs, getting to know your neighbors, and increasing safety that way.
All right. Well, Laura and Rebecca, both thank you so much here for being with us here on our Meet the Candidate forum here on this Monday afternoon on AIM 1480 KUS. A lot of fantastic information from you both. And again, Rebecca and Laura, thanks so much for being with us here today.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. And again, encouraging everybody, if you haven't done so already, to exercise your constitutional right and get out and vote. Again, if you haven't already done so on November the 8th.